This week, we are in the book of Psalm, chapter 136, talking about the letter A, appreciation. We're coming into a time of Thanksgiving here. We're about a week and a half away. If you go to the stores, you'd think it's Christmas already, but we have a season in between, and there's Thanksgiving coming up in a few weeks. And this idea of thankfulness, do we live out this idea of thankfulness in our relationship with God? Is this something that we take part in every day on our day-to-day walk? Do you remember being taught thankfulness as a kid? When you were taught manners, like to say please and to say thank you when somebody gave you something. I remember being taught many different types of manners things growing up. A lot of them dealt with the dinner table. You'd sit around the dinner table and they'd say, okay, don't put your elbows on the table. Do you remember being taught that as a kid, anybody? No elbows on the table? Yeah, that was the hardest one for me because I like to eat and be part of my food at the same time. And so I like to put my elbows on the table and be right there. That's just what I've always done. And so it's constantly as a kid, take your elbows off the table. Come on, elbows off the table. And so really, eventually my parents got a little laxed on that until we went to grandma's house. But because when we went to grandma's house, she expected no elbows on the table whatsoever. So I remember being so uncomfortable doing the whole like hovering arm thing where you can't touch the table because if you touch the table, grandma's going to get you. Yeah. Remember that and no tipping back in your chair at the table. My dad was very good at catching us on that. He'd catch us when we didn't even expect it. We're all sitting there talking and eating, and I'd start to lean my chair back, and my dad, like, I don't know, a ninja, would reach his foot all the way into the table and put his toe under my chair and go, poop, and flip me backwards. And go, I told you not to lean your chair back. It was great. Loved it. I learned pretty quickly not to lean my chair back. Those no's that Dennis was talking about, I learned several of those no's growing up. One of them in particular, as far as manners, was that idea of giving thanks. When someone gave you something, handed you something, what was the proper response? It was a thank you. And so thankfulness was something that we had to learn. And I think in our Christian life, it's something that we need to learn and apply. There's so many things that we realize that God has given us that we don't stop to even say thank you, let alone live out thankfulness for those things. I want to focus on some New Testament passages for a second. I know this is an Old Testament study, and that's good, but we're connecting the whole Bible. And so I want to focus on some passages that are very challenging for us before we jump into Psalm 136, because 136 will be more of an application based. And so here's the first few passages, if you could flip ahead, just kind of reading through these together. This idea of having this thankful attitude in our relationship with God. And so it says, give thanks sometimes. No. Always. For good things, not just good things, everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does anybody struggle with that? Always, everything? Yeah, I do. Going on, we read in Colossians 3, reading verse 15 through verse 17, it says this, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Okay, that's a short sentence. Be thankful. We go on. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in our hearts. Wait a second. Did that just say I'm supposed to have gratitude in my heart, not only when I sing spiritual songs and hymns and psalms and all wisdom admonished from God's word, but when someone admonishes me and teaches me, I'm supposed to be grateful for that? Yeah, that's what it says. Anybody else struggle with that? Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you. God's word, dwelling richly among us, teaching us, admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Three times we're told to have gratitude or be thankful in that three-verse section. Then we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So how do we live out this thankfulness? How do we live out this appreciation, going back to the letter A, towards God? Well, I believe Psalm 136 models this thankfulness and gives us ways to apply this thankfulness to our life, this appreciation to our life. And so that's where we want to focus today, looking at this model of appreciation, this thanksgiving and praise to God. Before we read Psalm 136, I want to pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much for the application that is given throughout Scripture of we're told to do something, and then we're modeled how it's done, how it's lived out. And so, Lord, I pray that today you will teach us through your word, that you will guide us through your word, that it won't be my words, that it won't be anybody else's words or any of our thoughts, but it'll be your will, your thoughts, your word. And so, Lord, help us all right now to set ourselves aside, to be willing to be submissive to you, to follow you. We call you Savior. This is a time, just like every single moment of every single day, is to live out the Lordship and surrender our will to you. And so, Lord, I pray that you will be Lord now, that you will guide us. Holy Spirit, speak to us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Psalm 136 was believed to be kind of a response psalm, where part of it would be sung or said, and then the congregation would reply in response. We're not going to do that. Don't freak out. If you want to, go ahead. But Psalm 136 says this, and the response is repeated over and over and over. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love is eternal. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love is eternal. He alone does great wonders. His love is eternal. He made the heavens skillfully. His love is eternal. He spread the land on the waters. His love is eternal. He made the great lights. His love is eternal. The sun to rule the day, his love is eternal. The moon and stars to rule by night, his love is eternal. He struck the firstborn of the Egyptians, his love is eternal. And brought Israel out from among them, his love is eternal. With a strong hand and outstretched arm, his love is eternal. He divided the Red Sea, his love is eternal. And led Israel through, his love is eternal. But hurled Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea. His love is eternal. He led his people in the wilderness. His love is eternal. He struck down great kings. His love is eternal. And slaughtered famous kings. His love is eternal. Shihon, king of the Amorites. His love is eternal. And Og, king of Bashan. His love is eternal. And gave their land as an inheritance. His love is eternal. An inheritance to Israel, his servant. His love is eternal. He remembered us in our humiliation. His love is eternal. And rescued us from our foes. His love is eternal. He gives food to every creature. His love is eternal. Give thanks to God to the God of heaven. His love is eternal. Did you get that his love is eternal? If you missed that, then should I reread it? His love is eternal. Give thanks. You see, there's a call in verse 1 through 3. And the call in verse 1 through 3 is to give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. I remember singing a song growing up where we'd sing those very lines. Give thanks to the Lord, my God and King. His love endures forever. And they'd go through this whole thing. You'd sing those other lines in here with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. His love endures forever. Okay, yeah, it doesn't sound like that. That's horrible, but that's the whole song. It was a really neat song. But I remember singing that as a kid. That's exactly where this comes from, this idea that he is good. He is God above any other God, because there is no other God, first of all, but we start to lay up these other gods and we start to give thanks to these other gods. We just did a study on this. If you missed it, I hope you'll be part of the next life group. There's a little life group plug for you. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. The call here is to be thankful. And then it gives a because right here in verse 4. Why in the world should I be thankful? He alone does great wonders. You ever ask your parents when they said be thankful? Why? What if I'm not thankful for that? Or anything. Like my dad would say, don't lean back in your chair. I go, why? It's comfortable. And he'd say, this is why. See? Don't lean back in your chair. You know, we always want to know why. Why do I need to be thankful? Well, let me give you a list here. God is the creator. Creator of all things. And it goes through those creations. It says, he made the heavens skillfully. The word skillfully, if you were to look at the literal definition of the word skillfully, it means this. It means through understanding. God understood exactly what he was doing when he made everything that we see. He didn't just do a bunch of trials and go, okay, well, we'll see if this works. Let me see if this tree will work. No, it worked. Let me see if these people will work the way I designed them. No, they worked. He understood exactly what he was doing. And when I understand that skillfully means that he understood, to me, it stands out to the fact that he knew that someday I would reject him and live for myself. And he understood that. But because of his eternal love, he still made me. He still created me. That is eternal love. And then he came and he died for me. Next, it goes on and it talks about the waters. And it talks about the great lights. And he talks about the sun and the stars and the moon. God is the creator. And so the psalmist here tells us to worship him or thank him for his creation. So first we have the call, and then we have, here's some reasons. All these wonders you see around you, here's the reasons. Number one, God's creation. Worship him, thank him, praise him for his creation. Then it goes on in verse 10 through 15, it gives this thanks for deliverance. Thank you for the salvation that we have. But it focuses on the life of the Israelites and how God worked and he struck down the firstborn. Then he brought out Israel in verse 11. And then it talks about in verse 12, his strong hand and his outstretched arm. Anytime that you see in scripture those words together, strong hand and outstretched arm, it's this picture of strength and deliverance. It's like you were drowning and you looked up and someone was reaching out and they were strong enough to pull you out of the water. I remember as a parent early in my parenthood, I decided it would be a good idea to take one of our children into the deeper end of the pool. Bad idea, by the way. But I was doing it along the edge. And so I thought, oh, I can get them, you know, walk along the edge of the pool, no problem, holding them. And I can really actually, my head is only like an inch under the water. So if something happened, I'd be okay. So I'm walking along the side of the pool. And you ever hit a part in a deep end where it's really slippery because maybe the skimmer didn't clean that off quite right? And you just go, phew, underwater. Yeah, I did that. And my instant reaction was, he had one of those full body swimsuit things on, that, you know, the shirt to protect from the sun. I just went, whew, and held him by his shirt out of the water as I'm trying to get it out of the water and swim. There was no way he was going under. That's a picture of God's power, way more than I have, that's for sure. He is so strong that he is the only way for our deliverance to be rescued out. And so it points out that he was the only way there. And then it goes on and it talks about he divided the Red Sea, and then he led. And then he hurled Pharaoh into the water. Verse 15, and then verse 16, it says he led again. And then in verse 17, it talks about he struck down. And then it talks about how these famous kings, these kings that were unbeatable, God destroyed them. And then he gave. You see, God is the deliverer. And Psalm 136 celebrates, first of all, his creation, then his deliverance. And then verse 16 through verse 25 talks about his care and his gifts. After he delivered, he led. Then he struck down. We just talked about those. And then he gave land to them in verse 21. And then he remembered them in their humiliation. He rescued them. And then in verse 25, he gives food to every creature. His love is eternal. And so it's a call to worship the care and the giving of God. I want to focus on a passage really quick in James. Let me pop that up there. Talking about kind of this idea of this list of three things, okay? So God's creation, God's deliverance, God's care and gifts. Those are the three things that Psalm 136 calls us to worship God for. And James 1 verse 17 says this, every generous act and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. With him there is no variation or shadow cast by turning. James talks about how every perfect gift is from above. Do we give God credit with thanksgiving for those perfect gifts? Jump two slides ahead if you would back there. Isaiah 12 talks about listing these gifts or proclaiming these gifts. And it says, and on that day you will say, give thanks to Yahweh, proclaim his name, celebrate his works among the peoples, declare that his name is excellent. Sorry, exalted. Sing to Yahweh, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known throughout the earth. And so we are called here in Isaiah, the people of God are called to proclaim Yahweh, proclaim his name, and then to celebrate what God has done. Be thankful for what he has done. And then it says to proclaim those things throughout the earth. It's really easy to be thankful and to proclaim God's great work here. But when we walk out that door, it's really easy to be forgetful and not proclaim thanksgiving and praise for God out there. It's simple to do. And many of us do it each week. We come in here and we sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God, thanking him, just like we did this morning. But then the application goes out the window or out the door when we leave. So how do we apply this in our life? Well, I think taking Psalm 136 and making this part of our everyday practice, or at least for the next several weeks, maybe after you do it for a little while, it'll become part of our everyday practice. And taking that model of Thanksgiving that's spelled out there in 136, and then applying that to our lives, where we start to say, you know what? I have been called to be thankful, to live out this Thanksgiving. And I want to start to focus on some of these wonders that God has done in my life, these amazing things that God has done, that list that Isaiah talks about. And then I'm going to start actually doing this. I'm going to start thinking about his creation and start thanking God for things in his creation every day. And then I'm going to start to think about my life and maybe times that God saved me from something, or the ultimate salvation where he called me and saved me from sin. Or maybe it was just an accident he got you through that maybe you shouldn't have made it through. And you're going to say, God, I want to start to thank you for the deliverance in my life that you have given me. And then after that, you start to focus on some of the other areas where you say, you know what, I'm going to start to think about the care you give me each and every day and the gifts that you have given me in my life. And every day I'm going to start to think about creation, deliverance, care, gifts. And I'm going to get specific on those things, just like the Israelites did. I'm not just going to say, God, I want to thank you for your creation. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your deliverance. And I want to thank you for your care and your gifts. And then you go up to somebody at maybe work and you say, hey, aren't you so thankful for God's creation and his deliverance and his care and his gifts? See, the Israelites here, the psalmist here called the Israelites to be specific in what they were praising God for. Take some time to actually think through that. What am I thankful for in God's creation? Specifically. We talked about the seasons today in one of our songs. We're praising God for the seasons. Some of you say, I'm not thankful for the seasons at all. I wish it was 75 year round. So I praise God for those 75 degree days and that's it. That's a season I like. I love seasons. Praise God for seasons. There's many things in his creation that we can thank him for. You know what you're thankful for. The deliverance that you've received, you know what God has saved you from and what he has brought you out of. Praise him for that. Thank him for that. You may think, what's the big deal about being thankful? Well, one, it's called for in God's word. We're told to be thankful. We read those New Testament passages at the very beginning. This thankfulness is called for. It says, give thanks always and everything to God. And then for Thessalonians, give thanks in everything. Thankfulness is called for. But there is a danger if we're not thankful. I want to look at Romans for a second. Romans 1. We got two passages left. And Romans 1 stood out to me. I never noticed this before in this passage. Romans 1, verse 21. This is a danger of not being thankful. Parker does this thing around the house. It's kind of funny. I think it's kind of funny. Where he'll run around the house and go, warning, warning, warning. And like he'll like slip on the floor or something like that, and he'll do that or whatever it may be, and it's just kind of funny, it's cute. But that's kind of what kind of jumped out to me when I read this passage, like danger, warning, warning, danger. If we are not thankful, there is something that could go very wrong in our life. Look at this, verse 21. For though they knew God, and so this is talking about people that know God. They knew all about him. They heard all about him. Okay? They did not glorify him as God or show gratitude. They did not glorify him, so they did not live for him. Though they knew all about him, they chose not to live for him and to not be thankful people. There's no gratitude. None. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. If you read on, these are the people that reject God. These are the people that have no relationship with Him. This is the world. They look out and they see the evidence of God, but there's no response to God in their life. There's no thankfulness to God in their life. This is the description of many in the church today. They know all about God, but there is no response to God, no glory given to God in their life, and no thankfulness to God in their life. Danger. Danger. Warning. For though they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God or show gratitude. Instead, their thinking became nonsense, and their senseless minds were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man, birds, four-footed animals, and reptiles. Therefore, God delivered them over into their cravings of their heart to sexual immorality, so that their bodies were degraded among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served something created instead of the Creator, who is praised forever. Amen. I learned something in our men's Bible study. That word amen, I always thought it meant like, I agree with that. Amen. Somebody'd say like amen when a preacher was preaching, and as a kid I was like, oh, he agrees with that. But amen, when the actual meaning of it means it's certain. You can hold to that. That is truth. And so at the end of this passage, when it talks about those that know God but choose not to glorify Him, choose not to live for Him, and choose not to be thankful for Him, how they're just going to be released to worship other things because that's what they truly want anyway, that is truth. You can hold to that. There are people all around us, maybe that describes you, where you know God. You've heard about Him. You've chose your own way. You've chosen to glorify yourself. And there is no gratitude, no appreciation, no thankfulness. I want to have a heart that is thankful, like we see in Psalm 136 and also in 138. I want to read two verses of 138, and we're going to close with this. I don't want Romans 1 to describe my heart at all. Psalm 138 says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. You exalted your name and your promise above everything else. See, I want that to be true of me. That I will give thanks with all of my heart. And so I'm going to start by looking at Psalm 136 and daily applying the call of thankfulness. Focusing on the great, amazing things that God has done. And some of them may not seem so amazing. Like, He gives food to every creature. We just assume that's going to happen. We just take that for granted. God's work is amazing. And so I'm going to focus on God's creation. I'm going to focus on God's deliverance. I'm going to focus on His care and His gifts because that shows His great love for me Ultimately, I want to focus on being thankful to God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the challenges from your word. Lord, I thank you for your creation, for this beautiful day. Lord, I thank you for fall. To me, it's an amazing season. Lord, there's so many parts of your creation that many times we're just take for granted. The fact that we can plant a seed and it grows and supplies food. Lord, thank you. Lord, that something so dirty and nasty like we may consider dirt to be, that when we get it all over us every single day, then we need to wash it off. That thing is what life grows out of because of your work. Thank you. Lord, I thank you for your deliverance, your salvation that you have given me, that you hold out to everybody, that you have forgiven me of my sins because I have placed my faith in you alone. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, I thank you. Help me to live out that thankfulness in my life. Lord, I thank you for your daily care. That I have a house every day to live in. And I have a family that you've given me. For my wife. For my church. Lord, for this town we live in, Lord. For our friends and family. We're thankful. Lord, I pray that you'll receive glory today and always. And help us to live out this idea of thanking you in everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.